It's time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Morena, Marama, how are you this morning? Oh, hello, Marama.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, how are you going?
Good, thank you.
That's good. Can you hear me all right?
I can, yep.
Excellent, excellent. It's great to be able to chat to you. First chat back for the year, and plenty has already been happening. I did want to start with the news that we've seen this morning that the government is going to be providing some more financial support for the arts and culture sector, since obviously the red light setting means pretty much no events of significance can go ahead, and that's ground those industries to a halt. It's looking like it's going to be a one-off payment support scheme, which is not necessarily what was being called for by the industry. People were looking for a resuming of the wage subsidy scheme. What are your thoughts around what we've seen so far from the government?
Yeah, and I haven't had time to fully delve into that, but yeah, I support the calls from the music industry really strongly in that it's actually sustainable support that they're needing. I am sure that they welcome any support that they can get, of course, but it's really important that we're not just supporting their livelihoods, actually, through these really tough periods, and they've had a tough couple of years, my goodness. I think it's really important that everyone who can speaks out about what an essential part of our communities our arts and creatives are, actually. And it includes making sure that we're encouraging and fostering creation, creativities and arts in diverse migrant and low-income communities, including galleries, theatres, and other artistic organisations, and that support should absolutely be sustainable.
Do you think we should be seeing more? I mean, we did see after the first sort of wave of COVID all the way back in 2020, a lot more, I guess, investment into the future of various industries, kick-starting a new phase of there was a touring fund put out for musicians, for example. We also saw heaps put into those shovel-ready projects. Do you think we should be seeing more long-term support for the arts and culture sector, and what do you think it should look like if we were to see some sort of shovel-ready, quote-unquote, support for that industry?
Yeah, absolutely, and there's no doubt about that. One of the other reasons, I mean, I think we need to all be really clear about what arts and creatives industry sector does for our communities. The livelihoods, actually, is not just the reason, it's what it does for our thinking, our mental health, our physical, holistic health, our connection, our storytelling, and how that is actually going to be part of the glue for the world, especially in times like now, where we need to be inspired and creatively motivated, and for that storytelling and performance ability to be able to be strengthened for the long term. Another reason is because These need to be seen as enduring sectors, not just for our people and not just for upholding the strengths and the imaginations of our communities and the glue across our communities, but also because these are sustainable sectors. These are areas of creativity and expression that are also good for our planet, good for our climate, good for interconnection between all of the issues that we all care about. So yes, absolutely, the long-term funding and support and building, being able to resource and fund the building of those industries rather than just seeing them as something that is not as important. The example of the what is called the shovel-ready and the building that better funding that is available is exactly the classic. It's a rather narrow terms of reference and that those funds were made available for, and we want the thinking to be so much broader than that.
Well, one of the other things we've seen change in the Omicron response versus the Delta and the Alpha responses we've seen from the government is how the homeless community are being supported through this particular wave we are starting to see ramp up. In your role in housing, what are you seeing as the conversation conversations between those communities and the liaisons. What's happening at the moment for folks on the ground?
Yeah, and even before Omicron, our work and actually daily discussions and contact with our incredible providers has been the only reason that we can continue to get the support, the services, and indeed the housing and the shelter out there to people. So we've got my agency, the Ministry of Housing and Urban Development, working really, really closely with the Ministry of Health. The providers have been very, very clear with us all and share some very common things about what sort of support is necessary. And those are the things that have been put into place, such as being able to provide, whether it's vaccinations, testing on sites at housing and accommodation sites, and being able to provide the enduring workforce and the methods, the different methods of testing, we know has been something that housing providers have called for, that we've got the other option of the rapid antigen tests as well as the pharyngeal nasal tests as well, and making sure that we have flexibility in services, the way that services are delivered, making sure that we remove as much of the red tape and the barriers to support for people in our housing sites as possible. All of that insight has come directly from the providers, and our agencies and officials are going above and beyond to provide what is needed.
Are we seeing the radical shift that people were talking about? You know, this pandemic has highlighted all the inequities that already existed, and perhaps is a good moment to really think about long-term change. Are we seeing that idea of long-term change, particularly for this housing crisis and this crisis of homelessness as well? Are we seeing that long-term thinking happening at the moment, in your opinion?
I think there's a lot of people on the ground who are absolutely trying to do their best. So as a housing minister, I would absolutely encourage anybody who needs support, shelter, or support in other method, in other forms, to absolutely get in touch with our support agencies. As a co-leader, I'm very clear that we're still not doing enough, and that some of the tools and the levers for that long-term health of our people and our planet are still not being pulled. And so even just this week, I've been speaking publicly about housing affordability and how we absolutely need to redistribute wealth. There are people, the already wealthy, who are benefiting even more through this pandemic, where a lot of wealth in their capital or the properties that people own has absolutely gone up, but incomes for people in paid employment and for people on the lowest incomes and income support have not risen at an amount where people aren't struggling. So that is something that needs to change. We've always said, for example, we absolutely need to ramp up even more so our public housing and affordable community housing, but also our wealth tax, our capital gains tax, our guaranteed minimum income. Those solutions that are about saying, I'm sorry, but this is not acceptable, this is not sustainable, where a few people's wealth is just shooting through the sky and a whole lot more people are struggling to even afford a home to live in.
Well, it has also been, just before we let you go, I did want to touch base on the fact that it's been a year, more or less, since the Green Party signed the cooperation agreement with the Labor government. And there has been some criticism recently that agreement has perhaps held the Green Party back from being an advocate for radical climate action in the way that people had hoped for. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, and look, I'm really clear that the Labor cabinet ministers right now and for this whole year have an opportunity to take bigger action, make bigger decisions that really are going to make the big changes that people not just expect but deserve. our priorities for climate change, for protecting nature, and for reducing inequality so that people can live decent lives have absolutely been maintained. We've been loud on those issues every single day across all of our amazing MPs.
Do you think that the cooperation agreement, though, has perhaps held the Green Party back from being able to be as vocal or as strong on some of those issues, particularly emissions, as we would normally see from the Greens?
No, I've seen James himself be really clear that the change that is, you know, yet to be made still needs to happen, and that he absolutely wants bigger things. I think regardless of any agreement, we have a Labor government fully in power with the absolute mandate to do bigger things. And I think that both James and I in our ministerial roles have been able to do things and get things done. And yes, absolutely, climate change needs a heck of a lot more. And I know that our minister and James as co-leader has been able to be really, really clear that more is needed, that he's not satisfied with where we are at so far, that he needs every bit of collective help from the people to put that pressure on the cabinet to make those decisions as well as the work that he has managed to lead through. Our advocacy hasn't at all stopped for a second, and I'm really, really proud of that. Ongoing, being able, and even myself in a ministerial position, I'm still, you know, you wouldn't find ministers in cabinet, ministers of the Labor Party up there being, you know, perhaps wanting to but not able to say, I think we should have a wealth tax, a capital gains tax. We should absolutely be lifting the lowest incomes.
Oh, I think we might have just lost Marama. I think we might have just lost Marama at the end there. Well, thank you very much to Marama Davidson for speaking with us this morning about a bunch of interesting topics. We will be podcasting this after the show, so if anyone wants to listen back, we can. Thank you very much to Marama Davidson.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.